Welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. It's me and Adam, Josh and Adam. Luke is enjoying a few days out with his lovely wife, Tristan, and much deserved.
At the beach.
Not yet, but yes, they will be.
They're going to be at the, by the
probably
time
as you listen, they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Luke's favorite place is at the beach.
Luke's favorite place is, it should be wherever Tristan is.
That's right. I told him last night, what did I say? I said, just remember, the vacation is not the destination, it's the person you're with. So.
There we go.
There you go.
We should make a bumper sticker.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're without Luke, but we are excited to be here. It's a brand new series, even on Labor Day weekend. But right. Hey, we're excited. The weather has been nice. Just let's start with kind of what we do often, just what are we grateful for from the past 7 days, perhaps, something like that. And then, yeah, what are you looking forward to the next week?
Yeah, looking forward to lot of travel coming up for me,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I've got a retreat with some preacher guys that I lead coming up next week. So looking forward to that, and be up in North Georgia. So that'll be good. So looking forward to that. What are you looking?
Same thing. Some of the same travel, not all, but some of the same travel. Looking forward to the long weekend and not going anywhere. I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to sleeping in a little bit. Yeah, so
sleeping in till 7.
It just means not setting the alarm and whenever my body wakes up. So yeah, that's kind of what that means. But yeah, a weekend at home with the family. I'm looking forward to watching some volleyball tonight. Middle school girls. I'll get to keep the scorebook, I think, tonight.
Lots of applause going on in middle school volleyball
or the scoreboard. I can't remember what I'm doing. I'm doing something tonight, so.
So yeah. You're going to be just like absolutely locked in. No, no drifting of attention at all.
And I know it's rally scoring, which means you score on everything.
Yep.
Whether you serve or not, which I am so grateful they introduced that rule.
Oh, yeah. That's
because it was not good when it wasn't.
No, I remember whenever your sister was playing in like middle school, high school, going to volleyball games, and it was not rally.
So for those who don't know, rally scoring is everything scores, whether you serve it or not. The previous way,
it's anti-tennis.
The previous way was, you had to serve to score a point. So there would just be sometimes 10 minutes where people wouldn't even score a point
because
they wouldn't serve it.
Yeah.
It was the other team and they got it back from us. Anyways, just rough.
Just absolutely awful. Yeah. Just really, a really tough watch.
Yeah.
Really tough watch. Yeah. Even if it's like your kid out there playing, that is a tough watch.
Yeah, it is.
Because, you know, it can make a volleyball game that I think they would go to 15 or something like that.
Back in that day, yeah. When they went to rally, they changed the score to 25, which still went faster because everything scored. So,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to skip that second question. Just because I am.
We're just going to
mystery hang out there. We are going to start talking here in a little bit about the Book of Acts and how small things became just a large movement. So here's kind of a fun question. Just what is a smallest decision that you have made that has made a big impact? You can go serious or funny on this.
A small decision that I've made and had ended up having a big impact. I would say just maybe low-hanging fruit would be my journaling habit.
Yeah, that's great.
So not like a huge decision. You're talking...
I don't think it's super low-hanging fruit.
Just it's fresh on my mind.
Sure.
Because I skipped it this morning. And so...
So you're feeling that maybe?
So it's just kind of like, man, and I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to find time to be able to do it today, but or make time. But I'd say that's a small decision that's had a pretty big impact on me. So I'd say that's one.
No, I agree. Yeah.
What about you?
I think some of the financial decisions my parents were able to teach me. I'm not perfect with money by any means, but just some of that. Some of that kind of stuff, formational stuff, was good. I don't know if this is decision or just my personality, but I have always liked to stay active, and I think that, you know, I feel better mentally when I am. And so I think that small decision just to stay moving, whatever that looks like, has been helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a couple.
Yeah.
But, well, conversely, have you ever seen a little thing like maybe become a big deal that it shouldn't have been? Maybe parenting days or just silliness.
I don't, on the top of that, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't. And so I don't know off the top of my head of anything that was just like a negative thing. I mean, I can think, you know, big picture, there are, you know, little financial decisions that you, I mean, just piggybacking off that. I mean, there are negative financial decisions that you can make, and it just kind of leads down, mm-hmm. you know, just a rough path.
Yeah.
So off the top of my head, that'd be probably the first example.
Yeah. Of course, I'm in the middle of parenting right now, and it is funny. I guess I'll tell on my kids and then tell on myself. Just, it's easy to point the finger at them and say, see how they've made a little thing into a big deal. And I'll even ask them, like, is that a big deal? And they'll say, yes, it is. Like, well, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And then, but I think about myself too, because I let things under my skin. I gotta watch that. So that's what we're talking about today. Just the power of small things making a huge difference. And the stage is set. If you were at church on this Labor Day weekend, you heard us start. We're skipping in the news today. I didn't have anything. Sorry. So you can, yeah.
Wait, all right. So hold on here.
We still got to do this.
So headline number one
is
Travis Kelce
non-existent.
And Taylor Swift are now engaged.
It is football. You know, football is back. So
it is.
So yeah.
There's some great. But I mean, trailer. Are engaged. Trailer. What do you think? What do we think? I mean, can we do that? Is it
sure.
trailer?
Whatever.
I mean, because it's been Tavis. I mean, that's also been the name that is thrown out there. And
is
so,
there a date?
No. I'm sure. So this is...
People do that nowadays. There's not really a date.
No. Who knows when the date will be. But so here is a great positive. So... everybody just hold off for just a second here because it's time for the Chiefs beat. The Chiefs beat for, give me 90 seconds here. So Travis Kelce is going to be 36 years old, which in football terms, he might as well be 73. And so last year, everybody knew that Travis was out of shape. He was... he looked cooked. He looked washed. He spent the entire summer on tour with his superstar girlfriend. And so the amount of commitment that he was able to do to be on the football field was lower. Well, this spring, this training camp, he has apparently lost close to 20 pounds. He has got the Kelce shimmy back. Where he's moving a little bit better, but the reason the engagement matters is what is one of the number one reasons why people want to get into their absolute best tip top shape. Engagement pictures and wedding photos.
Uh-huh.
So you're hearing it not here. Well, to the listeners of this podcast, you're probably hearing it here first.
That's right.
But, don't be surprised if we see a Travis Kelce breakout season.
Wow.
And then my other hot take would be if the Chiefs would have won the Super Bowl,
he would have retired.
He would have proposed on the field. I'm telling probably. You, it would have happened. But whenever they got absolutely boat raced, he decided not to do that.
Yeah.
Smartly. So there we go. There's in the news.
There's the 90 second news. Yes.
In the news with Chiefs beat.
So I don't have, any inside information like that on any sports that I follow of any people. So I don't have anything to offer here. So, but we did start a new series.
Yeah.
So, through the book of Acts.
Through the book of Acts.
Several weeks, but we've kind of divided it into two little series here.
Yeah.
Yeah, just tell us why we're doing this series, why it matters now, and then kind of the 90-second maybe recap of week one, kind of where we went.
So, you know, with Vision Nights and all the things that are kind of going on that, you know, are getting that we are excited about what God is doing at Corinth and, you know, seeing all these things taking place, you know, it was just kind of a, you know what, let's go back to the beginning and where everything began. And let's just kind of see what this, how this movement that we're still a part of, you know, 2,000 years later, actually began. And then as we look through at the beginning of the church and some of the just the incredible things that happened in the book of Acts, just kind of ask, and so why not us? Because the same spirit that was active in the first century in Jerusalem is the exact same spirit that is active right here in Walton County in the year 2025. And so really, that's kind of just the big idea behind it is just like, man, let's just spend some time and let's remind ourselves what we are a part of and then say, okay, all right, how do we you know, experience the same thing?
Yeah. So week one, or this first series, Unstoppable Force, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
if I remember right, we're going up to about chapter 8 in this one.
I think so. Yeah. So unstoppable force. Basically, you were in chapters 1 and 2.
Correct.
So that's no small task. Just to summarize the two first chapters of Acts.
Yeah.
But maybe recap 90 seconds or so. Just what was the overarching thought in this first message?
Yeah. So big idea of this message was to just kind of set the stage of here's where the church was born. And so you've got Jesus coming to his disciples. He spends 40 days with them, teaching, preparing them. And he tells them in the very beginning, he's like, hey, I want you to hang out in Jerusalem until God sends you the gift of the Holy Spirit that I promised to you. And so the Holy Spirit shows up. Some really crazy things take place. Peter gets up and preaches. I didn't get a chance to really lean into this, but Acts chapter 2, verse 40 said he preached for a really long time. And so, which should give, you know, you, me, and Luke just some, we have a biblical basis now to just go, yeah, we should probably go longer. But anyway, so he preached for a really long time. 3,000 people are baptized into Christ that day. Church is born. And then we kind of get this picture of like, after the great big group is there, kind of seeing where how it all just begins to start to play out.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's a question. I didn't write it in here, but how for you, how is it different preaching two whole chapters rather than, you know, normally if people are preaching Acts 1 and 2, they're zoned in on, you know, maybe it is the Acts 1, 4.
Through 8. Yeah.
Or Acts 2, you know, 1 through 4, or Acts 2, 38 and 39.
Right.
But so how was it for you to look at the almost 30,000 foot view?
Oh, yeah, that's where we are. Yeah.
Instead of the, you know, on the ground
granular
view. So what was different about that? What was this meant, you know, what was the hardest part to write? What was surprising?
Yeah.
All those questions again.
So the hardest part to write for this one, I'll just start right there, is, was the application.
Okay.
Because this is a narrative, it's a story. Mm-hmm. There are obviously principles that are in here, but trying to get down into the, okay, so we've sat up here in the blimp and we've kind of looked down on this story. You know, what is it that God is asking us to do? Was a little bit more of a challenge just because there's not a whole lot of. Now, if you can get to 42 through 47.
Well, there's not specific action steps necessarily in the text where it's like a letter where it says, go do this.
Yeah.
But the ones you pulled out are good.
Oh, sure, you know, sure, sure.
Like
but
they are biblical and they're part of the story. So
yeah.
It's a hard part to get
It's a hard part to get to because there is no, you know, Colossians 3 of clothe yourselves like this, you know, take off these things.
But it is fun to back up and look at some overarching principles.
Yeah.
In fact, I just ordered a new book that is on the Book of Acts to help me prepare for the messages I have.
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea. Okay. Is it's not a commentary that goes verse by verse, which has their place.
Yeah.
This, you know, the author is N.T. Wright. He's like,
so is it the Challenge of Acts?
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. He's just like, hey, there's some big themes that we want to look
correct.
At.
Correct. So. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's kind of what the whole goal of, you know, honestly, I think in every message in this series, I think we're trying to tackle two chapters at a time.
Yeah.
And
except you know, maybe 17, because I think I'm doing that one. I think that might be.
Yeah, I think.
Or even that, it's 16 and 17, but we're going to focus on 17.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because okay. Like I think that the overall arc of the two series, so mm-hmm. this one's Unstoppable, Unstoppable Force. Part two of it is Relentless, if mm-hmm. I remember right.
Yep.
And, you know, but yeah, we're trying to tackle multiple chapters. And just about every single one of them, I'm looking at it
there
right
we are.
Now,
yeah.
There's only two of the 8 weeks to where we're zeroed in on a chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yeah, that's just kind of the idea there of just like, let's get up in the blimp. Let's look down on this, read everything on your own kind of
absolutely.
Thing because the yeah. text has so much in there, but yeah, just trying to hit kind of the big, you know, peaks. High
yeah.
points.
And so on the Bible app, if you follow Corinth on the Bible app, there's been a reading plan update to, it's like a Bible project plan, Luke Acts. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get a runway start and read the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and then it goes into Acts, it'll be 40 or 50 days or something like that.
Awesome.
So anyway, if you're interested, follow us on there. Let's see, where are we? Read Acts 1:4 is what I wrote on here. So we're going to read it because we're going to read some text. This is Jesus' command. He says, once when he was eating with them, he had commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. Okay, so it's easy to look back and we kind of assume they just kind of probably knew everything Jesus was talking about, or we might think that. But I mean, what in the world do you think was going through their mind when he said, just wait?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's,
I mean, do you think they all got it? Like, here's when, here's how, or?
No.
I mean, I think it was a pretty big shock.
Well, yeah, because in verse 5 and 6, or 6 and 7, don't have it right in front of me, but they're like, so is it now? I mean, so you're telling us to wait, but is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom? Is it now that mm-hmm. you're going to do this, you know, and all those things. And so that's what Jesus tells them in verse 7. I think so. 5 and 6 is where they're asking the question.
Yeah. And then verse 8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you.
Yeah. But in verse 7, he says, it's not for you to know.
Yeah.
It's not for you to know the times and the dates.
But even then he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. comes. He doesn't say when he's going to come.
No, no, he doesn't. And so, if my rudimentary, math is right, they had to wait 10 days.
Yes, from that, they had to wait.
From that day, they waited. So yeah. Jesus says, you just wait in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and then he ascends.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite just images of that
yeah.
is that.
Staring up in the sky.
Staring up in the sky, an angel shows up, and an angel has to get their attention. The only time an angel is in the entire book, in the entire Bible, to where
yep.
people aren't falling down dead because they're seeing an angel is because the disciples are just, they got their necks bent, and they're
mm-hmm.
looking up in the sky, and he's like, yo, hello, me. And so yeah, they have to wait 10 more days until chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when everything kind of...
Yeah. So 50 days after Passover, when mm-hmm. Jesus died,
mm-hmm.
but then even 10 days after he has said he's in the sky, and they're like, what in the world is going on here?
Correct.
So what do you think they did while they waited?
Well, I mean, it seems like they hung out in a compound.
Mm-hmm.
And they had they drew straws.
They did.
I don't know if they were maybe playing cards. I don't know.
They drew straws for Matthias.
They drew straws and got
the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet.
Yep.
But yeah, what else is just interesting as you think about just the situation, the cutting room floor, as we often say?
Yeah.
Any fun tidbits as you studied? I mean, obviously, it's two chapters of stuff. There's tons of stuff in here. So
no, I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, in all the parallels between Pentecost and Sinai, mm-hmm. and those kind of things. I mean, I just don't have time, you know, to go through every single one of them. But I mean, you know, like the ones you threw into the notes. You know, it's just pretty crazy stuff. I've got to get that font bigger so I can actually read it. But you know, so the law is given 50 days after Passover, when Israel leaves Egypt, spirit's given 50 days after the resurrection. God comes down the mountain, down on the mountain with fire and smoke and thunder and a loud voice in Exodus 19. Then the spirit descends with the sound of wind, tongues of fire, speaking many voices. Sinai, the law is on stone tablets. Pentecost, it's the spirit writing the law on people's hearts. Sinai, 3,000 people died because of their sin and idolatry. Pentecost, about 3,000 people are saved. So you've got the law, which exposes sinfulness, but the spirit empowers believers. I mean, just so many things in there. I mean, just really, really.
I love all that. Just imagery, what God has done, doing again. You know, there's so much there. It's super cool.
Well, and like even too, like something that I like barely am able to touch on, but even too, just, you know, the day of Pentecost with the speaking in tongues and all those other kind of things, being the reversal of Babel.
You said that, Genesis, I believe, 11?
Where God confuses all the languages and scatters people, and now here he is. He's
gathered the nations.
He's gathered the nations, and he's doing a new thing. You know, it's Isaiah, is that 43? See, I'm doing a new thing. I mean, that's what's taking place, and so the curse is broken, and so just so much stuff, you know, that is just kind of packed into all of that text.
Yeah, so awesome. You will receive power, he said, Acts 1:8. And then you've already said this, but later, part of the story, the day of Pentecost, they were meeting together. Suddenly, I loved the imagery you said, what did you say, the hurricane is inside the room or something like that? You know, flame, tongues of fire, just flames, they settle on each one of them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They speak other languages. Or people hear them in their languages. I think I counted 13 different people groups one time or something like that.
That sounds about right.
There's a lot,
yeah,
which is really cool. Then later you have Peter's famous sermon, repent and be baptized. And then 2:42 through 47, this is the famous, all the believers devoted themselves to the teaching, the fellowship, the sharing of meals, or sometimes the breaking of bread and a prayer. And so all of that to say, there is powerful preaching, incredible stuff that has happened, but also just everyday living, like the devoting yourselves to teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. And what I took away is just the Spirit is inspiring all of it. So what are some ways we can remember that today, that to be Spirit-led is both. It's both dramatic power, but it's also normal everyday living. What are some maybe reminders that we need?
I don't know how to say it even better than, I don't know how to say it better than that. I mean, it really is. There are those dramatic moments that are the holy moly, what in the world just kind of happened. But then there's also too, just, hey, we're getting together, we're having a good meal, or we went to church on Sunday, or, you know, shared a prayer request with some friends and they said they'd pray for me. You know, all those things are kind of there. And, I think that's just a great way to frame it, is it is both dramatic and normal all at the same time.
Yeah. And I think it's good just to remind us all of that, to be spirit led doesn't mean one or the other. It's
both.
Means both. It means both. And I love you said it earlier, but I wanted to make sure we say it again. These stories, they give us hope because it's the same Spirit. You know, some Bibles will say it's just the book of Acts, or others say it's the Acts of the Apostles. But we've heard it before. Also, it's like, well, actually, the Holy Spirit is the most...
is the main character.
He's the main character. And so Acts of the Holy Spirit, which is why you took us to the application you did. It's because the Spirit empowers us still to change, to step out, to step into community. And so let's hang out there for a while.
Okay.
Because that was your question. What happens when the Spirit moves in? Just like it did in Acts 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Like he did in Acts 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. The Spirit is a person, right? Mm-hmm. Or he's personal. So the Spirit gives us, number one, power to change.
Yeah.
So Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So, this is story time. You get a chance to brag on some people or some stories, or just the Spirit, how you've seen him, not 2,000 years ago, but transforming some folks today. Just what are some, whether you say their names or not. Just. Yeah.
No, I think that they're just, you know, there are examples, you know, seeing couples who are on the verge of divorce, like really ugly divorce. And, you know, through the power of the Spirit, both in dramatic and in just very normal, we're going to go to counseling, you know, kind of ways. And there's, seeing them in a healthy spot now, or maybe a healthier spot. It's probably the best way. And it's, so the story's still being written. You know, we've, got stories of people who were, you know, in the grips of addiction. And through the power of the Spirit are now walking in something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think that it's still happening. So that the things that we see, you know, in a guy like Peter, who is cussing out a teenage girl at a campfire that he doesn't know who Jesus is now standing up in front of thousands of people and boldly proclaiming Jesus and lays it on pretty thick, man. You killed him.
Yeah.
You killed the Son of God. And so I think there's all kinds of things. I mean, just examples.
Yeah. I mean, you did a good job in the message. Do you want to just run through some of those? Again, just if the Spirit can transform Peter, he can transform you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I absolutely. You know, and so. In terms of forgiveness, in terms of addiction, in terms of you know, overcoming lies with truth, you know, letting go of shame, all those things. I mean, everything is on the table.
Yeah, and I think it's just good to say it again how you took it and said, where have you maybe stopped hoping?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to challenge ourselves and say, Don't do that. Never stop hoping.
Correct.
A Christian always has hope.
Correct.
Because it's the same Spirit who raised a dead man.
Yes.
Lean into the power of the Spirit. Have courage to pray those prayers of hope.
Yeah.
And never give up on change. The Spirit is the same. He's the same Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You said this in the message this week. Invite that Spirit into the very place where you may have given up hope.
Mm-hmm.
And pray this prayer, Spirit of God, change me from the inside out.
Yeah.
So maybe even now, as you listen, maybe something has popped into your head.
Mm-hmm.
It's a situation, it's a person where hope is, you're struggling. And so you just pray that prayer, Spirit of God, change me from the inside out. So step two, you said the Spirit gives us courage to step out. Courage to step out. And here you went to 2 Timothy 1:7, the Spirit of God. I'm sorry, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So people in the scriptures, there's all kinds of examples of them stepping out, Old Testament and New.
Right.
But what about running through some of the examples again, just to remind our readers, where might God be challenging us to step out in courage?
Yeah. Well, we'll remind our listeners.
Did I say readers?
Yeah.
Golly. Remind our listeners. I don't even know what I say.
Yeah. No.
Last week, apparently, I said hamster,
uh-huh.
And I didn't know that I said that. And then someone last night said, how's the hamster? And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about.
When did you do this?
Oh, last week.
In the podcast or the sermon?
No, the podcast. I guess you weren't here, were you?
No, I wasn't here.
Yeah, so I said it was supposed to be socks to the hamper.
Okay.
But I said hamster. And then I said, well, actually, I don't think we have any hamsters. And I had completely forgotten that I even said that. And then, yeah, so Lynn Brown came up and was like, how's that hamster?
Yeah.
I was like, I have no idea what you're talking
about.
That
is hilarious. Yeah. So whenever you talk for a living.
Oh, my goodness.
There are a lot of things that, you know.
The tang gets tangled.
The tang gets tangled up, man. It really does.
Oh, all right. So
if we were on video, we could have watchers or voyeurs.
There you go. So we are going to remind full circle our listeners where we might need courage to step out this week.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the message, I talked about extending an invitation, even though you're afraid that you're going to be rejected, or, you know, it could be reaching out to try and reconcile a broken friendship, even though you're still not quite all the way over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be choosing to be financially generous, even though things feel uncertain for you, economically at the moment. You know, even it could be joining a group and actually, going deep and sharing, even though you're super anxious about it, you know? And so, it's all kinds of things that can be present in there. And so, that's what the Spirit of God is going to be able to do. And, you know, in the text, it's the 120 didn't receive the Holy Spirit, experience the wind and the fire and all those other kind of things, and just go, wow, that was so cool. And then just sit there.
Right. Yep.
You know, you know, like, Hey, say it again. I want to hear it. Do it in French this time. And so, but they actually got up and they did something about it. And they stepped out, even though, I mean, they were stepping into, I mean, we're 50 days post resurrection, so 53 days post crucifixion, and not necessarily the most receptive environment in that moment.
Right.
And so it takes quite a bit of courage to just be like, hey, we're going to do this. And so, I think that's what the Spirit does. He gives us courage to act on what He's asking us to do.
Yeah, I mean, in my quick search right here, Jerusalem in those days is still, you know, a city of 25,000 to 50,000 people, somewhere in that that range. So even the big numbers that they saw is still a minority, of the population.
Sure.
And then you go bigger than that, the Roman Empire, it's even smaller percentage.
Yep.
And so, yes, it is dramatic in this story. Spirit is moving powerfully, but it still takes courage because they are still a minority in a lot of ways. So I love this quote. You said, courage is not the absence of fear. It's stepping out in spite of fear. So,
yeah.
Then once again, gave us a prayer to pray. Spirit of God, give me the courage to step where you lead.
Yeah.
So good prayer. Pray this week.
Yeah.
And finally, the Spirit gives us purpose in community. This is, you know, all over the book of Acts. You know, then the one another's that happened through the rest of the New Testament.
Yeah.
And what they were doing in the book of Acts. They were meeting in the big room and the small room.
Yep.
You know, the temple courts and house to house. So I think this is just a good reminder as well. Why do we need both? Why do we need big and why do we need small?
Yeah, I think that not to get on too big of a soapbox, I think that a lot of Christians really struggle with balancing the tension of these two. And you've got some that is all they want is the big group, and that's all they want to do. They want to show up on Sunday morning. They want to come into a room that's filled with a whole bunch of people, be inspired by some really great music, hear a good, challenging sermon, and then they just want to leave and let that just be their involvement. Mm-hmm. And then you got other people that they're just like, I don't need to go to the big one. I don't care about music. I don't care about preaching. I don't care about, I just want to go to my group, or I just want to go to my class. And that's all I'm going to do because that's all I need. And it's like, No, you need both. You know, there is something. I mean, they're in the temple courts. They had 3,000 people baptized, mm-hmm. you know, in those first few days. Mm-hmm. And so that's a massive amount of people that are there worshiping, studying, mm-hmm. being inspired. And you need that. You know, that's why Hebrews talks about don't neglect the assembly.
Right.
Don't neglect meeting together. Some of you have gotten into the habit of already doing. But it's, I think I got this from your dad's message. I didn't listen to the whole thing that he preached just, I think, last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, but the kind of the idea that I was hearing was like big group is inspiration.
Yep.
And small group is where transformation takes place.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Is that how he said it? Okay.
I don't listen to it every week, but I happen to this week. I'm like, oh, there he is.
Yeah, and it was a fantastic message.
Absolutely.
And so, and so that kind of vocabulary just is like kind of just hitting me of like, yeah, that is what this is.
Uh-huh.
You know, we come together and, you know, in our case, we've got hundreds of people in each service that are mm-hmm. lifting up praises. They're engaged. They've stepped in ready. And eager to sing, eager to open the word, and that is inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we on our side of the table, you know, our entire team works really hard. You know, so that from moment one till you know you're back in your car, that we're doing what we can to provide as inspirational of an environment as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because we do, we want to inspire people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything to apologize about that or to hide. And that's what we want to do. We want to inspire and challenge people. But if that's the only thing that you do, then transformation is going to be waning.
Right.
Because transformation happens whenever, you know, we are sitting in a group or we're in some sort of relationship and, you know, it's like, man, Josh, here's what I've been kind of struggling with, or here's how I'm trying to figure out how to apply this to my life. And, you know, can you pray for me? Mm-hmm. And how can I pray for you? And, you know, how are things going there? And it's this, that's where the true transformation takes place. And so I think that's why you see early on that as Luke is recounting the story of how the church started, he's like, man, these huge groups,
mm-hmm.
or a huge group that they would get together in, but then they also, they're devoting themselves to each other and to the teaching and to the transformation. And so it's just, we need that community. So I don't know if I have veered off into a different.
No, I think
or not, but
I think it's good because we need both. 100% agree on all of that. It's transformation and inspiration. We need both. We cannot, can't do, you know, what was popping through my head as you were was going, while you were going, is just if you're trying to keep your physical body in shape, it would almost be like saying, "Man, I love to sleep."
Yeah.
Or focusing, "I love to work out."
Yeah.
It's like, well, you got to do both actually, and you got to eat right too, and all that stuff.
Right.
Like, so just balancing life is, you know, it's just the same thing. So great. Yeah, I wrote here, it's kind of easy to resonate with, like, yeah, I need community, but it's harder to live out. And I think some of the hurdles are just the busyness of culture. Sometimes we're scared because if we actually get to know somebody, that's difficult.
We are experts in shallow.
We are. And everything's on demand now.
Yeah.
But community is not on demand. That's the one thing you cannot do.
You cannot do it fast.
And you can't do it isolated either.
Correct.
You can on demand podcast, preach, listen to you can listen to better music, better
content
preaching.
Content is everywhere.
If that's all you're wanting is the content, whether it be music, preaching, teaching, any of it.
Absolutely.
You can get it better than here.
Absolutely.
You can find it the best in the world, right?
Yeah.
But you're not going to find the community that you want that way.
Right.
And that you need, not just that you want. So.
Yeah. And so I think that's just a huge obstacle is that we don't prioritize it. Sometimes I think we don't know what to do whenever it even shows up for us. Meaning you know, you're sitting down with somebody and then all of a sudden they just like, they take it there.
Okay.
You know, it's like, what do I do with that?
Yeah.
You know, and they get vulnerable, and sometimes people get vulnerable because there's just, they're at that breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what do I even do with that? And so we just grow uncomfortable, and it's like, can we go back to talking about football and the weather? Can we do that? Because that would feel safer.
Yep.
And so, you know, you go back to the courage to step out. I mean, that is where the spirit even steps in then to being going, okay, mm-hmm. So I need the courage to step out into this community that is going to.
Right. Those two kind of play together.
They do. They end up playing yeah. together.
Well, let's do three quick hits before we wrap up.
Okay.
Here are some other questions. What if I don't feel the spirit mm-hmm. at work in me?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do?
What if I don't feel the spirit at work in me?
Yeah. What if I don't feel it?
What if you don't feel it is, I mean, it's a fair question. But I would say that sometimes, and I think I've found this to be true in my life, and Josh, you can either agree or disagree with me, that the earlier on in my faith, there are times whenever God, in his mercy, shows up in more obvious ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I play Bible roulette and I open up to the absolute right verse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that the longer we're walking with Jesus, I think that the way I would kind of view it is instead of like this great big raging bonfire,
mm-hmm.
we're not down to, but it's transformed into that white hot flame
mm-hmm.
to where okay. it is more intense.
But it's not as dramatic.
But it's not as dramatic.
Okay. All right. That's a good word.
I mean, how would you, what would you, if I told you I don't feel the spirit at work, how would you counsel me?
Yeah, I would say your feelings don't determine reality.
Sure.
And so just because you can't feel him doesn't mean he's necessarily absent.
Correct.
I would maybe ask some other questions like, well, what do you feel?
Right.
What are, you know, how are your other feelings going? And
right.
tell me about your other rhythms. And maybe we can get to the bottom of.
Correct.
Maybe you're not putting yourself in places or times
sure.
where you can feel the spirit.
Sure.
Are you surrendering enough time and energy in prayer or reading or community?
Yeah.
And maybe that. But yeah, those are a few questions.
Oh, yeah.
A few answers.
Yeah. So. No, I actually saw it. The other day, it's like, it was essentially, don't say you can't hear from God if your Bible's closed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. you know, those kind of things. And so I think there is a lot of that as well of, and we've all heard it said before, it's like, you know, if you're wondering where God went, just know he's not the one that moved.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so, I think there's a lot of that as well.
All right, real quick. How do I know if it's the spirit or if it's just my own thoughts?
So I would say one big one is is it contradicted or confirmed by scripture?
Yeah. Good.
Because the spirit will never lead you to contradict scripture.
Yeah. And sometimes the spirit does use your own thoughts.
And the spirit sometimes does. Yeah.
Marry those together in a sense. So.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. What if stepping out in courage, your application point number two,
mm-hmm.
what if that doesn't go well?
Yeah.
What do you do?
So I would, let's do this. Peter stepped out in courage from the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Did not look like it went very well.
Right.
He ended up drowning.
Sinking. Almost drowning.
Yeah, almost drowning. So Moses starts off.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look like it's going very good.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's why there are 10 plagues and not one. That's why there's plagues at all.
That's funny.
Because he goes to Pharaoh, let my people go, and he says no. And so it mm-hmm. it looks like it's not going to go well. Paul, I mean, you can look at his life.
Mm-hmm.
Beaten, imprisoned, all these kind of things, ends up beheaded for his faith. And you could go, it's like, wow, that doesn't look like it actually was successful, but God doesn't measure you know, God doesn't measure things by success.
Mm-hmm.
He measures it by faithfulness.
Right. That's where I was going to go. Yeah.
And so it's like, even if our obedience and stepping out leads to like some just what seems to didn't work or too many challenges or what seems like failure, that's not how God measures things.
Right.
You know, he measures, did you actually do it? And so I would also say too, that just to remember that even when things don't go as planned, God often uses those to shape us and to get us where he needs to be. And,
right.
And yep. So I think that that's what I would say.
Good. Well, we could go on all day with questions like that. But the point being,
we have 8 hours left on this SD card.
We do. There is not 8 hours left on my body clock. anyway, so yes, unstoppable force is the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the invitation is we want to be a people and a church
yeah.
that is part of that. Not because we on our own can do it, but because God has promised he's gonna build his church, and
yes.
we want to be a faithful church in response to that and along with him. So your bottom line was we were not made to do this on, or you weren't made to do this on your own.
Yeah.
Meaning the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of double meaning, I guess, because community, but really
right.
It's the Holy Spirit
right.
that is driving not only the church, but your own, your courage, your community, your
yes.
power, all of that. So take a spirit. Led step
mm-hmm.
this week. Help us imagine maybe how we could ask for a spirit-led step
yeah.
If we haven't made that ask yet.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, those couple of prayers that we threw out in the message, you know, give me the courage to step where you lead, or, you know, change me from the inside out. That could be a place to where we start. But then, too, it's just like, man, even if it's just a stepping towards God, whether it's just like,
yeah.
hey,
yeah.
I'm gonna begin a rhythm of you know prayer or Bible reading. Maybe it's a step towards community, and you know mm-hmm. we've got Rooted mm-hmm. starting up.
Yeah, 2 days.
yeah, this Wednesday,
yeah.
Which is a great opportunity to kind of get to know some people and to get into that direction, or it could even be just stepping towards something like, you know what. I'm going to start serving, or I'm going to start giving, or I'm going to, you know, extend an invitation to a neighbor or a coworker or whatever it is, and just
yeah.
kind of do that. But just God, give me the courage to step where you're leading me.
Yeah. I think often, a spirit-led step is maybe something that, I mean, it might even make you uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
but it's to make, Jesus yeah. more famous.
Yeah. I was reading somebody, it didn't make its way into the message, and they said, how do I know if it is the Spirit leading me to do this or not?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, one of the tests I use is, do I want to do it or not? Because it said, generally speaking, if I don't want to do it, it probably means the Spirit is leading me.
Well, sometimes.
I don't want to forgive this person.
Sure.
I don't want to reconcile.
Yeah.
I don't want to invite them. I don't want to do this. And they're like, so if it's something that I know it sounds like it should be a good thing for me to do, but I just don't want to do it. They're like, sometimes I think that's just the Spirit, you know, just yeah. leading me to it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, go do it this week. You are not made to do this on your own. So remember the Spirit is with you, guiding you, empowering you, and even praying for you when you don't have what it takes.
Yeah.
So let's end with a few trivia questions.
Trivia right. questions.
Small steps that go to a big change, though.
Okay.
These are all about like nature. So
nature.
Yeah. So if you want, you can answer like you're on Jeopardy.
Okay.
So this insect,
uh-huh.
though only a few millimeters long, pollinates about 1/3 of the world's food supply.
What is a honeybee?
There you go. What is the bee?
Just a bee? Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's just what I got. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. A single one of these small crustaceans
uh-huh.
weigh less than a paperclip, but they feed whales that can weigh up to 200 tons.
Mm, yeah.
Do you remember those?
What is plankton?
Or krill.
Krill. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not plankton. Plankton's like it's like a it's a plant. What is krill? All right.
Other small forces in nature. These animals, often mistaken for pests, they aerate soil and allow plants to thrive by tunneling underground.
So would it be an ant?
Earthworm.
Earthworm. Okay.
Although it's phrased like that, yes, I would often pests.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
earthworm is not a pest.
Earthworms are not pests to me. Yes. The fire ants, though, are.
Fire ants are definitely pests.
Yes. All right. Here is your plankton question.
Okay. What is plankton?
Tiny plankton in the ocean produce more than half of the Earth's supply of this essential element for humans.
Is it going to be oxygen?
It is. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So it is.
All right.
It is a plant.
Yeah, it is. All right. Yeah. All right. Let's do one more. This insect is responsible for spreading more diseases than any other creature on Earth.
What is a mosquito?
Man, I hate it the most. So bad. I hate mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you allergic to mosquitoes?
I mean, I guess. My arms or the bites swell up the size of half dollars.
Yeah, let's say you've got an issue there.
I mean, I don't like have to go to the hospital take medicine or anything, but they swell up real big. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Small things.
Small things.
Create big ripples. I love the domino illustration.
Wasn't that fun?
Yeah. So next time we do this series, let's actually just demonstrate it with a domino and then knocking over something 10 feet tall later.
Yeah, I know. It's like, so how big would it be?
Yeah. So what was it?
About the 10th domino. So what it's doing is it's like, I mean, it's like just getting bigger every single time, right?
It's getting 1.5 times bigger is what you said.
Yes.
So it starts small.
Yeah.
But then once it starts getting bigger, like it's pretty quickly how fast it transforms.
Yeah. I mean, because by the 10th domino, I mean, I don't even know. I need to run the math, see how big that would be.
But what was so back to the beginning of the message, what was like the Tower of Pizza? How many dominoes in was that?
It was 18. But I mean,
18 dominoes, the tower, and 23 was the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, like, I think I could push over the Tower of Pisa.
Well, but you're not that tall.
It's already leaning. I mean,
it's just the illustration of exponential growth. What looks like it's not going to matter really does.
Yes.
So this week, make small decisions to invite the Spirit into your life for those big results. One of those is to come back next week.
Yep.
When you're back in town, if you were out last, and catch us for week 2, which is going to be chapters 3 and 4 of Acts.
Yes.
So if you want to get prepared and read up on 3 and 4, do that. Until then, we hope you have an amazing week, and we're excited to see you then. Love you.